Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Hey, Chapter 5. While yesterday's perek ended with the aftermath of the conquest of the Aron, what happened when word of Israel's defeat reached Shiloh? Today's perek opens with the report of what was taking place simultaneously in the camp of the Plishtim. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Uplishtim lakchu et Aron ha'elokim, vayivi'uhu me'even ha'ezer ashdoda. The Plishtim brought the Aron ha'elokim from the battlefield of Even ha'ezer to the then Philistine city of Ashdod. Pasuk Bet, vayikchu Plishtim et Aron ha'elokim, vayaviu oto beit Dagon, vayatzigu oto etzel Dagon. And the Plishtim took the Aron of Hashem to the temple of the god Dagon and put it on display there, next to Dagon. This act was the subject of debate between two Tanaim, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan understood this as an intended sign of respect, as if the Plishtim were saying, "This is a god, and this is a god. Let their god be honored by being placed alongside ours." Reish Lakish argued, if that were the case, spoiler alert here, why would they be punished? Rather, they determined to humiliate the Aron, saying, let the conquered Aron serve the god in whose merit the people it protected were defeated. The next morning, when the people of Ashdod rose to serve their god, they arrived at the temple to find that Dagon had fallen on his face before the Aron. Malbim notes that this should have been a clear indication of the miraculous nature of the event. The Plishtim had placed the Aron Eitzel Dagon, next to Dagon. Had the idol fallen naturally, it would have lain alongside the Aron, not prostrated before it. Nevertheless, the Plishtim attributed the event to coincidence and merely returned the idol to its usual place. When they arose the following morning, the idol lay once again before the Aron, but this time its head and hands had been severed and lay on the threshold, so that only the trunk of the idol remained prostrated before the Aron. This would be pretty difficult to attribute to coincidence. The Navi records that to this day, the point when the Sefer was written by Shmuel HaNavi, those who come to pray at the temple of Dagon in Ashdod do not step on the threshold in commemoration of this event. In our day, the ruins of the temple of Dagon are as yet undiscovered at the site identified as the biblical Ashdod, which is some 3 miles southeast of the contemporary city. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vatichbad Yad Hashem el ha'ashdodim, vayishimem, vayachotam bat'chorim et Ashdod ve'et gvuleha. Since the people of Ashdod still paid no attention to the import of these clearly supernatural events, the hand of Hashem was brought heavily to bear upon them, and they were smitten by a devastating plague of hemorrhoids affecting all of the people of Ashdod and its immediate suburbs. At this point, having been bodily affected, Vayir'u anshei Ashdod kichen, the people of Ashdod saw that it was so, that having the Aron in their midst had indeed brought these troubles upon them. They summoned a council of all the chieftains of the Plishtim, saying, what shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? They proclaimed, let the Aron be brought to Gat. Most contemporary scholars identify Gat with Tel Tzafit, at the edge of the Elah Valley, Emek Ha'Elah, which is about a 20-minute drive from Beit Shemesh, where I live, and it is a really beautiful, nice, family-friendly hike that has a great view at the top, a great place to sit and contemplate the hand of Hashem in Jewish history. The Malbim explains that the choice of Gat was driven by a desire to clarify whether it was indeed a divine punishment or perhaps simply a natural disaster that had caused the plague. They deliberately chose a location far enough from Ashdod that it would be unlikely for a naturally contagious disease to have spread so far in such a short time. As soon as the Aron was brought to Gat, the hand of Hashem smote the city and its people. Young and old alike were stricken with hemorrhoids, causing a great uproar. And without consultation, the people of Gat sent the Aron to Ekron, which is about 11 miles or 18 kilometers north, closer to the border of Judea. Today, that is identified as Tel Mikneh, which is near Gdera, and the archaeological site is not accessible, but some of the finds that were discovered there are on exhibit nearby at Kibbutz Rivadim. As soon as the Aron reached Ekron, the people of the city began to panic. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayishalchu et Aron ha'elokim Ekron, Vayhi kivo Aron ha'elokim Ekron, Vayizak'u ha'ekronim lemor, Heisabu elai et Aron elokei Yisrael hamiteni ve'et ami. They sent the Ark of the Lord to Ekron, and as the Aron reached Ekron, the Ekronim cried out, saying, "They have brought the Ark of the God of Israel around to me to kill me and my people." Note that the initial reaction of the people is written in the plural form, Vayizaku. They cried out, but their concern is expressed in the singular, Lahamiteini, to kill me. Each individual was concerned primarily for himself. And while we're taking note of grammatical irregularities, let's look closely at the choice of words in the text. Throughout the Perek, the Aron is designated by three different titles, four times as Aron ha'Elokim, six times as Aron Elokei Yisrael, the Ark of the God of Israel, and twice as Aron Hashem, with the ineffable four-letter name of God. The divine name Elokim denotes that God is the creator of the world, omnipotent, controlling all the forces of nature. When we refer to Hashem as Elokim, we are invoking his Midat Hadin, his characteristic of judgment, Hashem who manipulates the forces of nature so as to reward and punish as deserved. The four-letter name of Hashem, the Shem Havaya, denotes God's eternal existence. It's an acronym of Haya, Hoveh, V'Yihyeh, was, is, and will be, embracing the totality of history and existence. And this name evokes God's Midat HaRachamim, his quality of mercy, which sustains the world, and in particular the Jewish people, who are privileged to enjoy a special relationship with him. In our Perek, the Aron is called Aron HaElokim in the first two verses, a hint that punishment is soon to follow. We find the term used two more times in verse 10, near the end of the chapter, as the ark reaches Ekron and had already become closely associated with a punishment that struck anyone in its vicinity. The term Aron Hashem is found only twice in the chapter, both times when the Aron is held in contrast to Dagon, the god of Ashdod, whose fall before the Aron indicates his powerlessness in the face of Hashem, who intervenes in the world for the sake of his glory and that of his people, Israel. The Plishtim themselves are not sensitive to these distinctions. In their conception, the Aron is simply the symbol of Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, one who is known to have punished the enemies of Israel in the past, and it may be presumed will continue to do so in the present and in the future. They fear God because of his connection with his people, not as a universal authority. Continuing our close reading, we note the frequent use of the root sov, to spin around, like the dreidel, sevivon, which spins around and around. The Aron is spun around from place to place in verses 8, 9, and 10. In Pasuk Chet, verse 8, we see Vayomru, Vayomru gat yisov Aron Elokei Yisrael, Vayisabu et Aron Elokei Yisrael. Let the Aron be spun around to Gat, and they spun it around. Vayhi acharei heisabu oto, Pasuk Tet, verse 9, and after they spun it around, Vatehi yad Hashem ba'ir, the hand of Hashem struck the city and caused a great uproar. Verse 10, Vayishalchu et Aron ha'elokim Ekron, they then sent the Aron to Ekron, Vayizakuha ekronim lemor heisabu elai et Aron Elokei Yisrael. Again, they spun it around to me. And the recurrence of this root communicates this chaotic sense of randomness, which characterizes the worldview of the Plishtim. Like a dreidel spins around, and wherever it chances to land, that's how we proceed. Here too, it's not an omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God who controls the world, but a series of random coincidences, or perhaps the intervention of a local deity who may influence an immediate event. But they fail to see beyond themselves, to appreciate the big picture. Perhaps this is the deeper meaning of the use of the singular form, lahamiteini, to kill me, and only by extension, my nation. They see the world only through the lens of their own individual petty needs and concerns. The people of Ekron once again called for a summit of the Plishti chieftains, demanding that they send the Aron of the God of Israel back to its place, lest it continue to bring death to me and my nation. For there was a great uproar in the city, wherein the hands of God struck a mighty blow. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12. Veha'anashim asher lo metu huku bat chorim, vata'al shav'at ha'ir hashamayim. Those who didn't die were struck by hemorrhoids, and the cry of the city was heard unto the heavens. This is the first we hear of people dying. With each successive station of the Aron, the punishment intensified. In Ashdod, only the adults were afflicted, while in Gat, everyone, young and old, was punished. Now, in Ekron, we hear of people dying in addition to those affected by the hemorrhoids. Why hemorrhoids? Rashi on verse 9 translates the plague as that which afflicted a place that is hidden. Based on that translation, Mishbitzot Zahav suggests that this punishment was measure for measure for exposing the Aron, which was meant to be kept hidden in the Holy of Holies within the sanctuary. Because the Plishtim failed to appreciate the dignity and sanctity of the Aron, their own personal dignity and integrity was afflicted. Thank you for learning together Li'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.